Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Rolene, how are you today?
Good afternoon. I am good in yourselves, guys, but gee, what a big news day it is today.
So I asked that we be connected a little bit early because we've got a lot to chat about regarding Bennett in Washington, what's happening with the IDF and restrictions in Gaza, the Angela Merkel visit to Israel, and of course the COVID update. But with so much that's happening right now in Afghanistan, I thought it best that we cross to you so that you could give us an update on what is happening right now as we speak.
Well, let's cross directly to Afghanistan. What we do know coming in is that earlier today, there were warnings of a severe threat, an imminent possible terror attack, possibly a car bombing. It was likely thought that ISIS would be the likely attackers. You know, if we're looking at the situation as the 31st of August evacuation deadline looms closer, and the country scrambled to get their troops and as many people as possible out of Afghanistan, it has provided an opportunity for terror groups like Al-Qaeda, like Daesh, which is commonly known as ISIS, to act. And today we have seen two blasts reported at Kabul airport. One blast we know is a suicide attack. We don't know who yet is responsible for that. ISIS have not claimed any responsibility for that. Quite a few casualties. Russia says two of their nationals hurt and two of their nationals killed, 15 of them hurt. We do have reports of several Afghanis killed, at least 13, including children. This is as per a Taliban official who has told Reuters. We know of at least two U.S. servicemen who have been injured as a result of the blast. Officials from the Pentagon saying that this is a very, very complex kind of operation that that has been carried out. The official says it's a result of a complex attack that resulted in a number of U.S. and civilian casualties, and there were multiple blasts, or at least two blasts, that have been reported on. We know that when it was the threat warning was issued earlier today, it was advised that people looking to be evacuated do not come to the airport, but they go straight to the borders. It's a very, very difficult situation because we still now have Americans, some Brits behind Taliban lines, and of course the massive scramble to try and get them out safely. So this is the situation. It's a rapidly deteriorating situation on the ground in Afghanistan. Canada announcing earlier today that they will cease their evacuation from the country. They say that they really wanted to get as many people out as possible, but the situation is deteriorating so rapidly that unfortunately they have to leave many behind, which is absolutely heart-wrenching. We also have briefs coming in that the Taliban have also killed children. So on top of all of this, we have increased reports of increased Taliban cruelty. It's just a really, really dire situation. And while this is happening, our Prime Minister is scheduled to meet with President Biden momentarily. The US officials and Israeli officials confirming just moments ago that the meeting will still go ahead despite what is happening on the ground at Hamid Karzai Airport in Kabul.
So before we get on to the Bennett visit in Washington and what we can expect from this meeting, let's go back to what's happening in Afghanistan, just so that maybe the listeners can get an understanding. The Taliban have taken control of most of Afghanistan, excluding one province. And we thought that, okay, fine, there's no resistance, they're now taking over. But we're now seeing other extremist groups asserting themselves. Was this to be expected? Were we expecting ISIS, ISIL, or Al-Qaeda to fight or to blow up and to basically embarrass the Taliban, who have now taken control of this region?
Well, I don't think they are embarrassing the Taliban. These terror entities that have very much been given the opportunities by the Taliban. One of the whole reasons that the US armed forces, the British armed forces, and various other Western powers went into Afghanistan 20 years ago in the first place was to crush the Taliban and to crush the other terror entities that are almost given safe haven in Afghanistan. If you look at the topography of the country, it is very, very mountainous. It's very, very easy for those who know and understand the terrain to train, to plan, to carry out terror attacks. It is a base, or it was a base at least 20 years ago, and certainly the fear is that by the Western countries pulling out so quickly, they have opened up the opportunity for these terror entities to regroup and replan attacks. In fact, if you listen to people like Colonel Richard Kemp, the former head of the British armed forces in Afghanistan, he's done two tours of duty in the country. He will tell you straight. He says this: it's only a matter of time before a major terror attack occurs in a Western country using Afghanistan as a planning base. So this was absolutely to be expected. This is why many countries, many pundits, a lot of the media, left, right, and center, are pointing the finger at Joe Biden saying, you know, what did you do? Yes, by all means, take your troops out. You know, we understand, we know that it's not supported by your constituency, but the how you do it is going to be critical because of the opportunity that it provides for the Al-Qaedas, for the ISISs, for the Taliban to plan and carry out attacks.
Well, it's interesting that you say it's a base of operations for all these terror organizations, because Al-Qaeda literally translated means the base. It's just a very interesting study to understand how the Taliban are now in control, yet there's other terror groups that are now wanting to assert themselves, and they couldn't have chosen a more opportune moment. So when I use the word embarrass the Taliban, I don't think the Taliban wanted or anticipated or expected to see these other groups of fundamentalists on the ground acting in such a manner, considering this new Taliban 2.0, this new Taliban that's trying to present itself as the world as being a different organization to that what it was. So this is a massive development, and it is something we need to watch very closely, because sadly it's impacting on the evacuation of so many thousands of people. But let's get to the news that involves Israel. Bennett is in Washington. He is set to meet with President Biden. President Biden is currently in the emergency situation room together with his chief of staff and his secretary of defense, monitoring what's happening in Afghanistan. What can we anticipate from this meeting with Bennett and Biden?
Well, as you said, that we've just had an update that the meeting will be delayed slightly, which is to be expected. Also coming in now is that the British Prime Minister has convened emergency talks after this. They are in their emergency situation room. So I think whoever still has major forces in Afghanistan are busy in their situation room. I know that France said that they will not stick to the 31st of August deadline. They will go beyond the deadline to make sure they get as many people out as possible. But what can we expect? Well, yesterday was a very, very positive meeting between the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, and Prime Minister Bennett and his team, as well as the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and Prime Minister Bennett. So what we do know coming out of yesterday is that with regards to the waiving of visas for Israelis, that those talks are making progress. We don't know exactly what this means, but hopefully it will mean that Israelis will no longer require such stringent visas to go to the US, one of the very few places we still need a visa for. We also know that the talks with Lloyd Austin, he's the Secretary of Defense, went very, very well yesterday. Austin reiterating to Prime Minister Bennett that the U.S. will make sure that Israel is able to defend itself against a nuclear Iran. Now, what is going to be very interesting is that Prime Minister Bennett will be presenting his plan that he's put together, his strategy with his top security echelon on how Israel intends to curb Iran's hegemony in the region, their aggression in the region, and their race for a nuclear bomb. According to our defense minister, Benny Gantz, we are just a matter of a couple of months away from a nuclear Iran, a very, very terrifying thought indeed. What we have heard, interestingly enough, and I think it's also because we have a clean slate as far as working with personalities from Israel's side is concerned. You know, there is no history between Prime Minister Bennett and President Biden. So, you know, there's a clean slate, so to speak, whereas the former president, former Prime Minister Netanyahu had a very friendly but still complex relationship with President Biden. So we know that there's a fresh slate, and we have heard it from very senior officials, both in the U.S. camp and in the Israeli camp, that they are very, very open to hearing what the Israelis have to say. So this will be very, very interesting. We don't know the exact details of this proposal that we are putting forward, but what we do know is that it will be seen very, very favorably, and that the Americans know that basically time is running out to enter any kind of nuclear agreement with the Iranians, especially in line of a more hardline president, if that is even possible, in the form of Ibrahim Raisi.
The IDF has loosened restrictions on the Gaza Strip. Does this mean that the protests are over?
Yes, so the protests happened yesterday, relatively peaceful. There were Hamas, we'll call them members, within the protests, making sure that they didn't get violent. From the Israeli side, we saw no need to deploy any kind of riot management because they were relatively peaceful. We do know 14 Palestinians were injured. How, we don't know. But it was relatively peaceful yesterday, so much so that Egypt has reopened the Rafah crossing. We have to always remember that it's not just Israel that has blockades in place on the Gaza Strip. It's Egypt as well, including a maritime blockade. But Israel today said that they will expand the entry of goods allowed into the Strip, including goods for construction and the import of new vehicles. And at least 1,000 merchants or traders with permits will be allowed to cross areas crossing as long as they are vaccinated or have recovered from the coronavirus. So that is very positive news if you're a merchant in Gaza, if you're watching the situation there. Also super interesting today is news that everybody's favorite congresswoman and member of the squad, Rashida Tlaib, has been declared persona non grata and is banned from entering what is known as Palestine, or really the West Bank, or Palestinian Authority controlled areas in the West Bank. And this is because she insulted or smeared President Mahmoud Abbas on Twitter. So a Palestinian authority official has said she is persona non grata and not welcome. So there you go, everybody. Rashida Tlaib managing to unite both Israelis and Palestinians in banning her.
It is Women's Month, and even if it wasn't Women's Month, I do support the squad in a lot of what they set out to achieve, especially with regards to misogyny in the United States. Let's talk about Angela Merkel's visit to Israel. We've got 2 minutes left.
Well, given the situation in Afghanistan, Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, was scheduled to come to Israel at the end of August, which is just in a few days' time. This is her farewell tour as she steps down as the Chancellor of Germany. Germany and Israel have extremely warm bilateral relations, largely due to Angela Merkel and the efforts of her as a chancellor. She has also been extremely committed to fighting anti-Semitism in Germany as well, which is so important today as the numbers rise astronomically. But it has been announced that given the situation and the urgency to evacuate as many people as possible and to get any German presence in Afghanistan out as quickly as possible before the August 31st deadline, she unfortunately has had to cancel her proposed trip to Israel.
Angela Merkel has been a sterling leader and is a standard that any country would wish to actually achieve. It's such a pity to see that she has reached that point in her career where she needs to rest, she needs to retire. But what an incredible lady and what incredible things she's done for Germany and its relations worldwide. Rolene, thank you so much. It's been a joy chatting to you the last 4 days. I'm off air from today. You'll be back with Simon on Monday. But I'm sure we're going to be chatting again in the very near future.
Well, I won't be back on Monday because I'm going Hollywood. I'm off to LA next week, so I won't be on next week. But I'm sure I'll catch you or Simon the following week, and I look forward to speaking to you pretty soon again.